To be in prayer tonight for Brother Leggett. He just left the hospital not that long ago. I just talked to him, and he is experiencing another infection with his leg, with his knee, and so they've got him on IVs with antibiotics and stuff, and I guess he has to go back and do a procedure or something just about every day this week to fight that infection. So pray for him, please. And also pray that the Lord gives some wisdom, some direction. Find out what the problem here is. Certainly that's frustrating, but it can't be good either to always be risking infection all the time either. So please pray for that. And also then remember as well to pray for Veronica's husband. He needs the Lord. He needs salvation. And so let's lift him up in prayer that the Lord be able to soften his heart and that he would allow himself to be exposed to the truth of God's Word. So please keep those in your prayers. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 26, please. The 26th Psalm. And we're going to read through this passage of Scripture here for our text tonight. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. Now, we read this passage, the other night, and we preached from this passage, but there's so much more truth that we can find out of this portion of Scripture that I want to look at tonight. And as we read through this, you know, look at the psalmist David, and he's displaying confidence in this passage. If you look, he says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I've trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." He goes on and he says, in verse 4, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. And he goes on, he just talks about a lot of things that display a sense of confidence. And one might read this passage and think that the psalmist is a bit presumptuous here. He's done all of these things. Someone might even accuse him of being arrogant, flaunting himself in his righteousness. I've done this and I've done that. But what we really see here is a demonstration of what is in the heart of someone who is truly, truly desiring to please the Lord with his life. He is simply demonstrating what I would call wholehearted devotion to the Lord. And that's what I'd like for us to examine tonight, this afternoon, for a few minutes, the wholehearted Christian. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, would you bless preaching of your word. Father, help us to examine our own hearts. Father, cause us to grow. Father, challenge us with your word. And Father, may we be more like Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing that I want you to notice is verses 1 and 2. He says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." The first principle that I want to bring out involving the character of a wholly devoted heart is this, that the man who is wholly devoted to the Lord has a desire to be tested by God. Here's the psalmist's desire to be tested by God, and it's demonstrating wholehearted devotion to Christ. He has a burning desire to be right with God. A burning desire to be pleasing to God. He has an intense desire to be like Christ. And so he says here, test me, prove me, show me my faults. Knowing full well that oftentimes that means purging. and that means hardship. To have that heart attitude, the desire, test me, to prove me, we ought to have the common sense that, you know what, I'm sinful. I'm a sinner. And there's always things about me that are not pleasing to the Lord. And so if I say, test me, prove me, try me, Lord, I know that means probably purging, maybe hardships. But you know, David consistently displayed this kind of a heart attitude. Look with me at Psalm 66. Psalm 66, verse 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Look at Psalm 139. He says, the Lord has proved me, and the Lord has tried us. Psalm 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Do you have that kind of a heart attitude? Do you have a desire to be tested by God? To ask the Lord to see if there is any wicked way in me? And if there is, Lord, I want to change it. Job had that heart attitude. If you look back in Job chapter 13, the Bible says in Job 13, verse 23, how many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Here's the heart attitude of Job. God, I want to please you. Lord, I need you to show me what's wrong with me. Job 31, verse 4. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Why could David and why could Job have this attitude of heart so consistently? Go back to Psalm 26 there. Why could he have this kind of a heart? Why could he come before the Lord in humility and say, Lord, show me my faults. Lord, show me what I need to change. Fix me. Prove me. Try me. Why could he have that heart so consistently? It says in verse 3, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Do you know why he could have that kind of a heart? Because he did not see testing and trying and purging, which is sometimes painful. He didn't see any of those things as negative things, but as something that was good for him from a loving, kind, and generous Heavenly Father. You see that there? Verse 2, he says, examine me, Lord, prove me, try me. Why? For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. He understood that the heart of God was not arbitrarily restrictive, you know, and just putting demands upon him to do this and do that. No, any kind of purging, any kind of testing that he would go through, he knew was for his own good because he knew the character of God, that he loved him, that he wanted him to grow. He wanted to make him into something pleasing in his sight. He wanted to bless his life. He didn't see purging and trial and hardship and testing and even rebuke. He didn't see it as a negative thing. He saw it as for his good because God loved him. I think that's an important principle. I think it's our pride that keeps us from receiving necessary instruction that is meant for our good. And sometimes, you know, if the preacher sometimes has to come and say, hey, you know what, brother? I see some deficiencies in your life here. Some things that maybe you need to work on. You know, the tendency might be to get a little huffy. The tendency might be to, you know, keep him at arm's length. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. The tendency might be to well up in pride. I don't have any problems. But see, the heart of one who's wholly devoted to Christ is one who says, Lord, whatever you got to do, show me my faults. Make me what you want me to be. And sometimes that means purging. But it's not a bad thing. It's for our good. We don't like our faults being pointed out, as Brother Hickman showed us this morning. We don't like our faults being pointed out. We don't like to be told that we're wrong. That's human nature. And the reason we don't like it is because it injures our pride. So often we will not have this same heart attitude. Because the Lord is going to take us up on it if we ask the Lord to show us our faults. But we're not willing to submit ourselves to Him. We're not willing to submit ourselves to the testing and trying hand of the Lord because it's painful. And this is nothing more than sinful pride. There have been so many times, folks, I can't even tell you how many because I don't even remember how many. When I was assistant pastor at Bible Baptist in Grand Forks, there's so many times when I'd have to go sit in the preacher's office. Or he'd come and sit in my office. That's even worse if he's coming and knocking on my door. But he'd come and sit in my office, or I'd go sit in his office, and he would show me, gently, of course, he would show me, hey, look, you know what? This is wrong in your life. This is some area that you need to shape up in. If you're going to be a preacher, if you're going to be a man of God, if you're going to be a godly husband, if you're going to be a father who raises his children for the Lord, these are things that you need to be working on. You think that's easy to take? No, it's not. But it's the heart of pride that gets all huffy and walks away in disgust, or it's the heart of pride that gets angry or upset about those kinds of things. I don't need to change. I like who I am. I'm the way I am. It's the heart of pride that rebels against godly instruction. And see, but the psalmist, he said, Lord, prove me, try me, show me my faults. Because he loved the Lord, he had a desire to be tested by God. And he didn't see those things as negatives. He saw them from a loving hand of the Father, trying to make him into something pleasing in his sight. Sometimes it's hard for men to not only take counsel from their pastor, but it's especially hard for a man to take counsel from his wife. What? Men are supposed to be the leaders. Men are supposed to be the ones who lay down the law. The women are supposed to submit. But you know what the Bible says? To submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. And sometimes, men, your wife might have a perspective that you don't have. And it might just be good for you to listen up and hear what she has to say, because it might just make you into a better person. There have been lots of times, folks, lots of times, when I've been dealing with my children or I've been interacting with one of my daughters, and I'll say something or do something that my wife just kind of sits back and listens and watches. And then later on, she'll come to me and she goes, you know what you just did to that little girl? And I'll be like, what? And she's like, you know what you just did to her spirit? The way you talked to her just now? What you said to her? How you treated her? We need instruction, men. We need instruction from our pastor. We need instruction from God's Word. And sometimes, we need instruction from our wives. I know, that's a foreign concept in our world today, right? At least among Baptists, anyway. No, it's a biblical principle. We should never get to the point where we think we know or we've got it under control. You know, I'm the boss, I'm the man, I know everything. We should never get to the point where we think we know everything. Because we don't. That's just foolishness. My point is, the Lord can use other people in our lives to bring correction, to maybe to show us some things that we're deficient in. But it's the heart of pride that rebels against that. But the one who is wholly devoted to the Lord and truly desires to please the Lord and be like Christ will gladly submit himself or herself to the scrutiny of the Lord, even if it's painful. Why? Because they see the loving kindness of God in it all. It ought to be the this ought to be the heart attitude right here. What a privilege it is for God to care for me and want to work in my life. Because who are we really, folks? Who are we? We're nothing. What is man that thou art mindful of him? But yet God loves us and he cares for us and he wants to work in our lives, and we ought to have the attitude of, what a privilege it is for me that God would care for me, that he would desire to make me into something pleasing in his sight. The character of a wholly devoted heart is one who says, Lord, I know that I'm sinful and I'm not perfect, but God, I want to please you. Test me. Show me my faults. I want to please the Lord. And they'll submit themselves to it rather than acting in pride. The second principle is found in verse 3 as well. The second part of verse 3. He says, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Here's the character of a wholly devoted heart, one who adheres to the word of God. One who adheres to the word of God. To walk in his truth is to walk in his ways. He chooses the will of God for how he lives his life as revealed in his word, rather than the imaginations of his own heart. Now, let me say that again. A man who, or a lady who's wholly devoted to the Lord adheres to the word of God, and they choose the will of God for their lives, or how they're going to live their lives, as revealed in his word, rather than the imaginations of his own heart. How I want to live my life. What is it, folks, that truly keeps us from saying, whatever you want, Lord, that's what I want? What is it that keeps us from saying that? Whatever you want out of my life, God, that's fine with me. What is it that keeps us from coming to those conclusions and then following through with them in practical living? I think it's the stubborn, sinful will that keeps us from saying that. It doesn't want to give up control of life. This is the way I want it. This is the way I am. This is what I like. Don't mess with that. I think there's a lot of type A personalities out there. Men who are strong-minded men. And you know what? I'm thankful for strong-minded men, for a good leadership. If you have a bunch of mamsy-pamsy, weak-minded men, you know, you can't get anything done. But there's also a bunch of strong-willed, strong-minded ladies out there too. And it's sinful pride and a stubborn will that says, I want it my way. Don't tell me that I'm wrong. Don't tell me I need to change. Don't tell me what to do or how to live. But the one who is devoted to the Lord, who is wholly devoted to the Lord, says, you know what? If the Word of God says this, if this is what God expects and God demands, then that's what I'm going to do. Most often, we'll push that part aside to do what we want to do and live how we want to live. You know, and it's not wrong to be a certain way and have things that you like. But the question is it biblical? And if it's biblical, then the truly devoted Christian is willing to submit themselves to it. So once again, a preacher may get up and he may start preaching on dress standards. He may start preaching on things that sometimes step on our toes. But is it biblical? And if it's biblical, then the wholly devoted Christian will adhere to it. He may start preaching on entertainment forms. He may start preaching on things that really start to hit home to where we really live and how we live. But the question is it biblical? And if it is, then that's what God expects and God demands. And the one who is truly devoted to Christ is going to say, you know what? If that's what God's word says, and that's what God expects, then that's how I'm going to live. You know, God may want to change some things in our lives, folks. But we fight it. And we refuse and we resist. But if it's biblical, then should we not obey it? Hello? Hello? I know you're tired. Sunday afternoon. I might make everybody get up and do jumping jacks. No, I'm kidding. I won't do that. But if you don't want to do jumping jacks, you better stay awake. If it's biblical, should we not obey it? Are we here? Are you here? Yeah, we should. Look at verse 4. He says, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. You know, the character of a holy devoted heart is one who separates himself from the enemies of God. There's some separation in his heart. He wants to be separated from this world if he's devoted to Christ. The evil communications of the world corrupt the child of God. And you know, the Bible commands us to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. You know, we may not hang out, per se, with unsaved crowds, as it were. But the influences of the world that we allow into our homes through entertainment forms can be just as deadly. The truly devoted Christian is going to be very careful as to what they allow to influence their life, especially if it's something of this world. I used to challenge our teenagers in Bible Baptist and Grand Forks and the singles department. I used to challenge them on a regular basis with this rule of thumb for life. That's what I called it. It's a rule of thumb. And I would remind them of this constantly. If the world thinks something is cool, it's probably best for God's people just to stay away from it. And why is that? Because what communion hath light with darkness? What fellowship does Christ have with the things of the world? They're diametrically opposed to each other. And the Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's the devil's domain. And so then if the world elevates something and thinks something is cool, then it's probably best for God's people just to stay away from it. What spiritual value does it have? The child of God, the devoted Christian, is going to be very careful as to what they allow to influence their life. Why? Because of the potential influence it could have in destroying your life. You know, the things of this world, it dulls our spiritual senses. They sear our conscience. You know, and it could be that the more, this is the way it is, actually. Not could be, it's the way it is. The more that we allow the things of this world into our lives, to influence our lives, the duller we become spiritually. It dulls the senses and sears the conscience to where what used to be something that was bad is not so much anymore. And we make concessions. And then time goes on, and this one thing that, you know, this thing is, I'll go this far, but I won't go any farther. We start to make some more concessions, and we just find ourselves going down, down, down. Anything that could dethrone God in your life is an enemy of God. And the wholehearted Christian is going to be examining their heart and their life and separating from that which is an enemy of the Lord. You know what? Even if it's a person's job, you know, if it keeps you from being all that God wants you to be, then it's not God's best for your life. Plain and simple. Satan can't get you to worship him. But if he can get you or keep you from worshiping God and glorifying God with your life, then he's gained a victory. If you're saved, he can't get you to worship him. But if he can keep you from glorifying the Lord with your life, then he's gained a victory. And my point is that to somebody who is truly devoted to Christ, folks, is going to have it in their heart to want to separate themselves from the enemies of God. That's what the psalmist said here. I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I've hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. He wanted to be separate. The next principle is in verse 6. He says there in verse 6, I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. And we talked a lot about this last time, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But I do want to draw attention to the first part of that phrase, or first part of that verse in verse 6. I will wash mine hands in innocency. What does that mean? That word innocency there means clearness. It means to be free. It means to be clean. Now, if you think of it in terms of the Old Testament priests, the sons of Aaron were to wash their hands at the laver before they came to the altar of incense and came into the presence of God. You can go back to Exodus chapter 30 and read about the qualifications and what God commanded them to do. And they were supposed to wash their hands at the laver before they came to the altar of incense, or they would die. And we have New Testament instruction in Matthew chapter 5. Turn over there. Matthew chapter 5. And look at verse 23. The Bible says here, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And if we look back in Psalm 26, the psalmist is saying, I have washed my hands in innocency. What he's talking about is that he is right with other people so that he can be right with God. He desires to be right with others in order to be right with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us to examine ourselves before we come to the Lord's table. And if there's any issue that two people need to work out, if you have an issue with your brother or somebody has an issue with you, it needs to be dealt with before you come to the Lord's table so that we're accepted of the Lord. And the point is that in the text here, the psalmist is saying, I want to be right with other people so that I can be right with the Lord. The wholehearted Christian will not hold a grudge or ill feelings towards others. Why? Because he desires to be accepted and pleasing to the Lord. You know, sometimes people can be mean. Sometimes people can be rude. And they can say things that hurt our feelings. And that's just what the devil wants. So he can get his foot in the door and disrupt the unity in the body of Christ. And unity in the body is so, so important, folks. If we're going to have God's power, there must be unity. And if there's somebody in the church, you know, they said this and they said that, and you just kind of been stewing on that all week long or 2 weeks, and or they said it 3 months ago and I've never really gotten over it. You need to go make it right. You need to humble yourself. I need to go to the person and say, you know what, brother, you know what, sister, you said this a while ago and it really actually hurt my feelings. And I'm not sure what you meant by it, but this is how I feel about it. You know, most of the time, here, when things like this happen, most of the time, the person who offended you doesn't even know that they did. It's a simple misunderstanding most of the time. And all it takes is a little bit of humility to just say, I want to be right with the Lord. I want unity in our church. I don't want hard feelings. Can we make this right so that we can be accepted of the Lord? See, this is the character of a wholly devoted heart. A person who's truly devoted to the Lord also is going to want to have the right relationship with his brothers and sisters in Christ. For unity's sake, it's necessary for God's power. Verse 8, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. The person who loves the Lord, who is wholly devoted to the Lord, also loves the house of God. He said here he loved the house of God because of who was there. I know that the Lord delights in meeting with his people. But the question is, do you? You know, I know some. There are a couple people in particular that I'm thinking of. And I don't have a problem with them. But these particular men, every service, they were there. Oh yeah, without fail, they were there. Unless they're on some business trip or something like that or on vacation. They were faithful. But you know, they were in and out of the house of God before the sound of the last amen finished ringing through the room. They would come, they would sit in their spot, and they were always there. They were doing their thing. As soon as the last amen was said, boom, they were out. They were gone. Because they were too busy with their life. They were too busy with what they wanted to do rather than fellowshipping with the saints of God. Rather than sensing and knowing the presence of the Lord. They're too concerned with themselves and their life in order to be a blessing to other people. You know, that's really what fellowship is about in a church. All too often we think that I need this fellowship, I need this from other people. But really our fellowship ought to be about us being a blessing to somebody else. What can I say, what can I do that will be a blessing to my fellow believer in Christ, my fellow church member? That's what fellowship is really about. And if everybody is concerned about the affairs of others, everybody's concerned about the well-being of somebody else, nobody gets left out. What goes around comes around. Let me ask you, do you have the fellowship of the brethren? Bonding is good. Talking about the Lord together blesses each other. And it glorifies the Lord. Now, one thing I have noticed about Black Road Baptist Church is that you love fellowship. That's a blessing to me. I sit and watch, or stand and watch, and observe. And even this afternoon, before church started, there was a buzz in the air, people talking and fellowshipping. That's a blessing. That's a good thing. Let me encourage you with that. But also, along with that, let me encourage you in this. Edify the Lord. Glorify the Lord. Talk of all the wondrous things that God has done. Be a blessing to somebody else. I was sharing with you what my mom texted me this morning. That was a blessing to me because she was uplifting the Lord. And it comforted my heart because I knew that she was secure in the Lord's hands. God is good. And the one who is truly devoted to the Lord loves the house of God and the people of God. Look at verse 7. He says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Skip down to verse 12. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. The one who is wholly devoted to Christ testifies for and praises God. You know, if the heart is truly devoted to the Lord, there's going to be thankfulness there for what God has done. There's going to be a willingness to tell of the wonderful works of God. And you know what? It's not just in church either. There's going to be a heart to tell of the wonderful works of God, even in the workplace. Oh, you know, I can't witness on the job. Okay, fine. There might be some laws and some rules against that. But there's no law or rule against glorifying God and saying, hey, you know what? The Lord is a blessing to me today. Or something on the job happens and everybody sees it and it's kind of a benefit and you say, hey, that was a blessing from God. There's no law against that. But too often we don't want to say. We don't want to speak up because we're afraid of what people will think of us. But the one who is wholly devoted to the Lord loves to testify and praise the name of the Lord. When was the last time you publicly praised the Lord and testify to what God has done for you to the unsaved. It's easy to do it in church because no one's going to think you're weird. You get my point? David is expressing his complete devotion to the Lord. And he's showing the character of a heart that is wholly given to God. Are these same qualities true of you? I want God to bless Black Road Baptist Church more than anything. I want God to grow His church, people to be saved. The saints are edified and built up and put on a sure foundation. I want God's blessing on this church. But God's blessing is not going to come. And God's not going to be able to use us like He wants to if we are not wholly devoted to Him. If we're not willing to let Him have first place, if we're not willing to open ourselves up and lay ourselves bare, Lord, whatever You want out of my life, whatever You want to change in me, do it. Unless we're wholly devoted to Him. All of these things are so important. And they're not just important for your own growth, but so God's power will rest upon you and this body. We have to be filled with the Spirit of God for power to serve. We must walk close to the Lord as members of Black Road Baptist Church. We have to be surrendered so as to see God's power at work through you, through me, and to build this church for God's glory and His honor. Do these qualities, the qualities of a wholly devoted heart, do they describe you? Or is there some work that needs to be done? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the time today. I know people are tired. It gets to be a long day when you have services back to back, and sometimes we need a nap. But I pray that the heart of Your people would be like the psalmist. Lord, try me, test me, prove me, show me my faults. Lord, I submit myself to You. I submit myself to instruction from Your word. Father, I submit myself to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, even to the leadership of the man of God. Father, because I want to be pleasing to You, I pray that our hearts would be like the psalmist when we love the house of God and we want to praise the name of God. Father, when we look at the trials and maybe the purging as not as a bad thing or a negative thing, but as good from a loving Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray that You bless Black Road Baptist Church. Father, fill us with Your Spirit. Go before us. Go before these people in their daily lives, Father, in their workplaces. May they be filled with the Spirit of God every day so that they're vessels that are able to be used at a moment's notice to make a difference in somebody else's life. Lord, help us to be separate, to have a desire in our heart to not be like this world, but to be willing to come out from among them and be separate. To be willing to be separated in the way that we dress, in the way that we look, in the way that we live, so as to accurately represent Christ to this lost world who needs You so much. Father, we pray for Your blessings upon us. We pray for Your power and Your Spirit. We pray for unity here. Would You go before us and lead us in the days ahead? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now you can go take a nap. It's only 2:06. It's amazing how much energy we get when church is over and all of a sudden we get to go out and we get to play. all of a sudden, man, we're just full of energy and life. I know it's not always that way. But I appreciate your attention today. It's been good to be with you folks. Lord bless you this week. Be on purpose. Every day, be on purpose about what you do for Christ. And we'll see you again on Wednesday.